just a little horn. But this is a year of jubilee, so I felt like we ought to blow a horn. Because they said throughout the whole land, the year of jubilee. So if some of you have 10 ears, if you would put your fingers in your ears.
She didn't know that I was going to do this. But you know, here we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of this community of faith. And it's a wonderful time to be a part of this celebration, to give thanks to God. But what does He have in store for us, for you and for me, for this community of faith? What does God have in store for us this year, next year, and the years to come? What does God have in store for us? I think first and primarily first is that God would have us to worship. To worship. To come and praise His name, to give thanks for the gift of life. Now it speaks in this scripture lesson from Leviticus about the people recognizing that God owned the land and that they were tenants on the land. And the whole concept, because when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, these were some of the directions that was given to him. And he came back down and shared it with the people. And this is a part of it. On the seventh day shall be the Sabbath. And you worship on the Sabbath. You give praise. You lift up thanksgiving. You praise the Lord of life and the Lord who has given you everything. And that's what you do on the Sabbath. 7 times 7 is 49, and on the 50th, they call it the Jubilee. And this was when all debts were forgiven. I'm sorry, I worked on that, but I couldn't get it done. There's no way I could possibly forgive all the debts or find resources to forgive the debts that you and I owe. You know, it's just impossible. But that was what took place. Debts were forgiven. If you were a slave, you were set free. And if you had been in debt and had lost your land, because on the seventh year it came back to you, the year of Jubilee, so that's 50 years. All these things happened, but first and primary, sound the horn throughout the whole land that we might worship the Lord God. Now, how do we worship? In many varied and different ways, don't we? Don't we worship in different ways? I appreciate the praise band. It's a choir, really, but I'm calling about the praise band because you have all these instruments you can use with the instruments you have. And y'all do a wonderful job of lifting up praises to God and getting us involved in it. That's a way of worship. And one way we didn't worship this morning was out loud, was to lift up our prayers of thanksgiving and our prayers of intercession for those who are sick, who are serving in the military service, those who have concerns, many unspoken concerns. Isn't that worship? When we prayed together as people of God who have been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't that worship? What does God have in store? He would have us to be people who worship and who praise Him. Now, it comes down to the individual, doesn't it? Individual persons are the ones who have to avail themselves of the opportunity to come and to worship, to pray, to study, to serve. It comes down to an individual person. Each of us is an individual. And we have the privilege of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the way that we know about the concept of being saved? Is knowing and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And it's just that simple, that we welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, to be our Savior, the one who loves us and the one who cares for us, and the one who died upon the cross for your redemption, for our redemption, for us as individual persons. What does God have in store? He has in store that He will continue to touch the lives of individual persons. God will be true to the character He has always been a part of, His makeup, ever since the beginning of time. And God has always come down and touched the individual life. And He did it especially when He let His Son be hung upon the cross for our salvation, for your salvation. You know, we have to be people who are individuals, and we have to live our lives out that way, and we have to give and to serve and to work and to play and to study. And we do this as individual persons, and there are a variety of different ways that you and I can serve, because we will respond to God and serve. The little girl was in the intensive care. Ever since they knew that they were going to have a child, the little boy was so excited. And he was going to have a sister. He would sing for her and talk to her, and I'm sure at times he prayed to her even before she was born. So when she came, he was a constant kind of companion for the little girl. Even in her, as she laid in the crib, he was singing and praying and talking to her. But then came that terrible day when she came down with an illness that put her into the intensive care, and the doctors gave very little hope of her recovery. And he wanted to see his sister. And he begged his mom and daddy to just let him go in and see her. And the parents talked to the medical staff, to the doctors and nurses, and they just wasn't sure how he would handle all those tubes coming out of his little sister. And it would be such a frightening, terrifying thing to him. They just wasn't sure how he'd react. But then as they talked about it, and as he continued to badger his parents about wanting to go to see his sister, they finally decided to let him go in, because it might be the last time that he would ever see her alive. And so he went in, and he went over and touched her little hand, and he started singing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." For she was the sunshine of his little life. And you know what? That little girl recovered. Beyond the anticipating expectations of all the charts and the graphs and the information that they had. God works through individual lives, and some of them are younger than we anticipate they would be. I was eating lunch with a gentleman about 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about, since he had retired, what he was doing, and one of the things he was doing was that he was had learned something about working and visiting and being a part of a visitation team in the hospital, and they would take turns. And he said he was really enjoying that, because it was such a great experience to be able to go and to visit in the name of the church. And he said, "You know, I've started something. It's a little different. But when I go to see someone and spend some time with them and talk to them and then close with a prayer, then I hand them," and he showed me, "it's a little green frog." And he says, "I tell them that this little green frog represents fully rely on God. Fully rely on God." Through that individual person, God was touching the lives of other people, but he was using some kind of little plastic frog to remind them that they need to rely on God. You know, what does God have in store for you as an individual person for your witness and your ministry? Because all of us have a calling. All of us have gifts and graces. All of us have networks of people that we touch, either through the computer or the telephone or in person or in our working relationship. We have those connections. But thanks be to God for the connection that comes to us to God through Jesus Christ and through the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit that seeks to direct us. And we are individuals. I don't know where God is going to lead us as individual persons, but I'm sure that God will continue to lead you if you will avail your life to His leadership and His relationship with you. How grateful we are for people who have touched our lives as individuals, whether they've been school teachers or whether they've been Sunday school teachers or UMYF counselors or relatives or friends or someone at church. Just to touch our lives, sometimes it's been a gentle smile, a warm handshake, an encouraging word, or sometimes it's been a call, and sometimes it's been a visit. But to touch our lives with gratefulness for your life and encouraging to you in your walk. What does God hold for us in the future? It certainly is individuals. It's certainly to be praised, but certainly God will continue to work through the communities of faith, through groups, through societies, through churches, through the combination of God's calling together people. You know, we can come up with some wild ideas by ourselves. I mean, if we can get some of the most audacious kinds of things to think about. I remember talking to the trustees at one particular church, and I was concerned about what this person might want to do if they will give a special gift to the church. I said, they might just want to put a bathtub on top of the church. I mean, people, but that's the reason that God calls us into communities of faith, so that we can deal and work it out with each other. Hadn't you been admonished or chastised or called to order or encouraged by another member of your Sunday school class or Bible study group or church that has put you on the right path? And sometimes we've even asked, you know, do you think that's a good idea? And sometimes the group say, nah, don't think so. Another said, you know, I'm not sure. But if God is in it, then somehow you've stuck with it. And you've continued to pray about it and to bring it up again. And sometimes the group has grasped the vision that you had. I'm not sure what kind of vision was here when the church was began in 56 in November. But it certainly has, the thrift shop certainly has been a vision that has benefited many people, clothed and helped, and money used for mission and ministry and touching the lives of people. And it's through the combination of the church working together. You know, groups are so good to be a part of. They are wonderful as they call together us to be people who are sometimes called to accountability. You know, because groups can do that. They can account you. Now, John Wesley had the groups that he set up as he traveled and preached. And he set up the accountable groups, but some of the questions they got pretty personal. What sins have you met? What sins have you committed since last we met together? And people would talk about them. And they always took up an offering. And they were, I remember at one church I served, they would call sometimes to look at the old records. This is Jarvis Memorial in Greenville, where I was associate. And they were seeking to establish their date that they could start Social Security. And in those days, they just didn't keep the record, so they'd go back to when they might be baptized. And I was looking through the record, I found out that so-and-so had been dismissed from the church for carousing on Saturday night. You know, we need to call each other into accountability in the life of the church for our actions and our deeds and who we are as persons. And we need to lift them up in prayer. And the church is a great place for us to be loved and to be forgiven of our sins, because we can experience the love of Jesus Christ in the community of the fellowship that helps us to be a sustainer and a strength of our life. How blessed we are when we are part of a church, of a community of faith that loves us and cares for us. For a Sunday school class, for a Bible study group, for a youth group, for any of these groups as function as Christian groups that lift up Christ, that put God first. And that's what we want to do, because God has called us to be His disciples. And we celebrate that on this 50th anniversary, giving thanks to God, who first called us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God who speaks to us and works with us as individual persons. But I still think that the real strength and character of the Christian faith is lived out in the community of faith. And God can work the best, because on our own, we would be in bad shape. Thanks be to God for St. Matthew's, a community of faith that seeks to serve God and give us the privilege and opportunity to be His servants. Let us pray. Gracious Father, You love us with a love that is a love that cannot even be described, because it's so wonderful. You love us with a love that goes on forever, and a love that seeks to redeem us always in the midst of our disobedience. Continue to guide us as we seek to be people of Your love, letting it live and flow through our life, and letting us be Your disciples. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we lift up our prayer. Amen.